Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, you are listening to Flop Culture. This is a podcast all about flops, the good, the bad and the in-between. I'm your host, Fionnuala. Hope you're well. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode on Cheryl. Got a good few emails and responses in about that. Christina got in touch. Hello, Christina, to tell me that she saw Cheryl in 2022, a ghost story. Saw her in February 2023. Christina said she was actually pretty good in it, but overacted in parts. She is stunning in real life. However, Max Branning from EastEnders was in it and he completely stole the show and then mentioned that the show is coming to the Olympia. I doubt Cheryl's going to be in it. But what I want to know is, in the show, did she say, just tap the fucking table? That wasn't a Geordie accent. Anyway, we also had Mary Lavelle in touch on Patreon and Mary said the time is right for a Cheryl biopic. Cheryl played by Michelle Keegan or Cheryl played by Cheryl. Cherylception. Let's get into this week's episode, shall we? Euphoria. What the hell is going on? You've Sydney Sweeney 2 weeks ago in conversation with MTV saying she has no break. The girl is flat out. She's obviously just on flop-tastic Madame Web. Immaculate is out now. That scary nun movie that I might not see. I'm not sure. She's been very busy and, you know, she's in conversation with MTV and he's like, are you taking a break? And she says, no, we're straight into Euphoria. Said she hadn't seen a script. She doesn't know when exactly they're filming, but like the plan is they're going back to film, right? Filming actually hasn't started. The scripts are still being written and they're hoping to start shooting later this year. We have this statement from HBO or from a HBO spokesperson. HBO and Sam Levinson remain committed to making an exceptional third season. In the interim, we are allowing our in-demand cast to pursue other opportunities. I mean, it's not looking good, girls, really, is it? And I get it because obviously you have mega stars now of Zendaya, Jacob Elordi, Hunter Schafer, the aforementioned Sydney Sweeney. They are massively in demand in huge ways. It's probably a nightmare trying to align their schedules. You also have the writer's strike, which, to be honest, I forgot about and I forgot how much that was probably impacting this. And then also you have the death of Angus Cloud. He died last year at age 25. He died in July. They're probably having to rewrite the season around his loss. No, and especially given the end of season two, without spoilers, he's a pretty significant part of that. So I can appreciate it is difficult, but it is also just a bit like there's rumours that because there is so much time in between, that season three, they're looking at a 5-year time jump, which I can see the for and against. At that point, they're not too old that it's like weird because, you know, some of the charm of Euphoria, if you like Euphoria, is the fact that they're essentially like just teenage delinquents and the 5-year jump would put them out just after college and like they would look that age. They, you know, they're not whatever, mid-30s, staring down the barrel of a pension and trying to get a creche place, you know, that kind of way. But at the same time, I don't know. A part of me is just like, maybe we could just kind of leave this where it is and just have like one really good season one and one fine season two and just leave it at that. It just all seems a bit too much now. I don't know. And then I was having a conversation with someone else and I'm going to protect their identity because I want to, I fear for their safety based on what I say. But I was obviously shared it on Instagram about the fact that, you know, maybe we just should forget this third season. And they replied and said that they didn't like Euphoria, that they like they tried, they watched it, they didn't really get it. It just seemed very stylistic, which I agree it is. There's a lot of like, you're going off of vibes. But I would have said the Zendaya performance as Rue, as this teenage addict trying to cope with going back to high school after leaving rehab, she's the anchor of that show. Now, I will say Sydney Sweeney is brilliant as well, but like some of the writing for her character, bizarre, slightly bizarre. And I think if you pull apart season two too much, it'll fall apart at the seams. Jacob Elordi, also very good as Nate. Very, very good. But Zendaya, ultimately, the anchor. And I was kind of saying that, you know, Zendaya, obviously, brilliant performance. She's won 2 Emmys for her portrayal of Rue. And this person was kind of like, I'm actually not sure if Zendaya can act, right? Hot take. They had just seen Dune 2. I have not seen Dune 2. I haven't seen Dune 1. Will I eventually? Sure. Not into the sandworms right now. Not my vibe. But their take from Dune 2 was that they didn't really think she was as good an actor as people are letting on. Again, they were like, it's all kind of vibes. And then they challenged me. They were like, okay, so what else is she good in? And I struggled to name something else that wasn't Euphoria. Malcolm and Marie. But Malcolm and Marie was kind of a bit depressing. You know, like, we all watched that during the pandemic. Can I tell you anything else about it? No. Like, I'm sure she was good in it. Do I ever want to watch it again? No. Realised after that I forgot, obviously, she's in Spider-Man Back to the Future, Home Alone 2, that franchise. And she's brilliant in that. I would actually argue that she's brilliant in that. But beyond that, I don't know. Does that person have a point? Is Zendaya all gowns, gowns, beautiful gowns? Or is she, you know, an actor of our generation? Do we need to see her in more? I don't know. I think it's hard because she is just very... She is the definition of like a celebrity. Like, she has that celebrity energy that you want to gravitate towards and you can't take your eyes off her, and she plays the game really well. She's obviously in Challengers, which is coming up soon, kind of sexy tennis movie. We'll report back on that. And we'll see. Maybe we'll watch her on that and we'll have our decision made on Zendaya. You know what's interesting though? In the space between season 2 of Euphoria and season 3, The Bear will have released, I'm pretty sure it's 3 seasons. Isn't that kind of nuts? Isn't it just, time is a funny, funny thing. Potentially 4 actually, because I think they might be shooting 3 and 4 back to back. But anyway, crazy, crazy. What do you think? Euphoria, do we sack it off? Is it actually even a good show? Should I go back and rewatch it? Are we all wrong? Zendaya, do we love her? Overrated? Let me know. Speaking of The Bear, Jeremy Allen White is looking to go from The Bear to The Boss because he's in talks to play Bruce Springsteen in an upcoming movie about the making of his 1982 album Nebraska. We have no other details, and as I said, he's still in talks, but at this point it's probably all but confirmed. Scott Cooper is circling to write and direct the movie, and the movie is titled Deliver Me From Nowhere. I'm not hugely familiar with the Bruce Springsteen lore. Depending on what picture I look at of Jeremy Allen White, sometimes I can see it, sometimes I can't, with regards to the Bruce Springsteen of it all. But here's another fella whose star is just ascending, you know what I mean? And here's an example of, you know, a show that's doing it right. A show that's recognising that their stars are really busy and are getting busier. So they're like, right, we need to film 45 seasons of The Bear so we just have them ready, because Jeremy Allen White is going to go off playing Bruce Springsteen and Ayo Edebiri is going to be the most successful girlie in the world, you know? She's doing something else. She was doing Marvel. She sacked that off. That's what we need to do, guys, okay? Maybe Sam Levinson, if you could just maybe try and do that, please. That'd be great. Anyway, who's ready to dance? Step Up 2 burst onto the scene in 2008 with high hopes following the success of its predecessor, Step Up. At its core, Step Up 2 sought to groove its way into the hearts of viewers, showcasing the struggles and triumphs of a diverse group of dancers as they strive to make their mark in the competitive world of street dance. Joining me to discuss Step Up 2, The Streets, is writer, actor and comedian Hannah Mamelis. Enjoy.
Hannah Mamelis, you are so welcome to Flop Culture. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled. This has been a long time coming. I've been DMing you, harassing you for an email address, and we got there in the end.
I'm ready. Flop.
What did you pick?
I picked Step Up to the Streets. Step Up to the Streets.
Step Up to the Streets.
Yeah, you can say it so many different ways.
Number two.
Not
to be confused with the word T-O.
T-O. And then dot, dot. The streets. And no Z at the end of streets. The streets?
No. The streets? Question mark. That's what they should have called this film. I could have done it with more punctuation, in my opinion. Did you watch this when it came out in 2008? Or is this a later watch for you? Like, what's your relationship to this movie?
I'm trying to remember because I think I probably would have watched it in and around that time. I'm trying to remember what age I was. I was about 16. And I know with the first one anyway, I know I definitely watched that when it came out because we did like this this like dance to one of the songs in it in school, like a really shit fucking like bad time dance, and thought we were incredible. So I think I probably would have watched the other one in and around that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen the first one. I need to have watched the first one to get this?
I mean,
I'm familiar with, obviously it's like the
concept
film,
of dancing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept of dance. But I know it's the film that like launched kind of Channing Tatum's career and Jenna Dewan's, and like obviously they ended up getting together, so this insane chemistry, whatever. But okay, so you'd watch that because this is peak dancing film, dancing in the playground. We're all going to be hip hop dancers. We're all street dancers. 100%. So I'm glad we kind of shared that same experience because I also 100%. Had that.
I mean, it was like, I think that's why like, there were so many dance movies in the 2000s. Mm. And when I was coming in, I was like, what'll I say about that? Will I try and bring it back to 9/11 or something? Like, it's a post 9/11 world, and we just want to watch a body move. Like,
in a country divided, what do the people need?
What's
popping and locking?
Watch some dance, baby. So that's what I'm coming down on. No, there were so many of them, and yeah, I think it was that peak moment. It was like very aspirational, you know what I mean? Where it was like, you need to, particularly, you know, I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Connemara, and you know, you'd be having like...
And you're telling me there weren't hip-hop groups in Connemara? What
there were no hip-hop groups. But like, you know, also you'd be going to like the local disco community centre, and it was either like people were standing on either side of the room, or you were watching a girl get fingered to the beat of Cotton Eye Joe. You know what I mean? Like there was no in-between. It was one or the other. So
you were looking at Jenna and Chad and Channing and being like, wow, this is the dream. This is what we should really be aspiring towards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, particularly I suppose when you have that romance element too, where I'm like, oh my God, they love each other. Because yeah, I guess they did famously love each other. Like their chemistry worked and they went and got married. They're not married anymore, are they?
They're not married anymore, unfortunately. So maybe they lost maybe they need to start dancing again.
They just need to start dancing again. In a post 9/11 world, they just need to start dancing again.
But I think that's how they actually reboot the whole Step Up franchise. Because I didn't realise there's about 45, we could do an entire separate Flop Culture series on how many Step Ups there are.
Five of them, like.
Because I was like, Step Up 2, and I was searching in my thing, and it was like, Step Up, All or Nothing. Step Up, Whatever It Takes.
Step Up.
This one is three-dimensional for some reason.
Exactly, like it's 3D. It's like they didn't know what... It was like, okay, we've like knocked it out of the park with Step Up to the Streets.
In fairness, the peak, good, the pinnacle.
Pretty good, yeah.
Like then, every other movie title, what are you fucking doing?
Just, what can we put on the end of 3D? 3D. It's in 3D now. That's it, we made a choice. Like, come on.
Oh, okay, so Step Up launched the franchise and Jenna and Channing's relationship. Where are we in Step Up to the Streets?
Well,
what's
saw
going
him in
on
this
there?
One, right? Like,
yeah,
he
is
this
in
little
it.
Cameo at the start, I guess, to just like ease people back in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He's like, "Hey, Mamma Mia, I love to dance.
You were a child on the streets." You're like, "All right, Channing,
brilliant.
I remember you in nappies." but yeah, it's really just to, I suppose, show that like we're in the same world here. We're kind of in the same community.
Yeah.
And yeah, his intro to her is kind of like, oh, like I remember you when you were a kid and you were dancing all around the place. And I remember your mom, like dead mom story, you know what I mean?
Classic.
Classic. Yeah. Classic.
My mom is dead, I need to dance with a pen.
Exactly. Yeah. In a post 9/11 world.
Yeah, in a post 9/11 world. There's just layers and layers of trauma
over
here.
Over and over again. So yeah, it's her intro. And her whole vibe is, her name's Andy.
Yeah.
She has a crew that she dances with, but she's kind of in trouble, you know what I mean, at the moment. She's not going to school. She's living with her mom, has died, and her mom's friend is kind of looking after her. But she's flunking out, she's not doing good. And she's been given an ultimatum, and it's like, you know, you either kind of, I'm going to send you to Texas to your aunt. And she's like, no, don't.
What about the streets?
What about the streets and my dance? And then Channing Tatum's like, oh, here's the crack. Like, I'll get you into... So there's a school that they go to.
Yeah.
Dance school. Like private kid dance school.
Maryland School of the Arts.
Exactly. And in the first movie, that's where Channing Tatum kind of... In the first one, he ends up kind of... wrecking the place,
okay.
And his community service is essentially like cleaning in there, and that's okay. Where he meets your one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, you shouldn't be cleaning, you should be dancing. And so yeah, this one he's like, look, I can get you an in if you do this audition, and then you won't have to go to Texas and blah 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 blah. So that's like how it starts, how yeah. It kicks off.
And it has that classic dance movie trope, the audition scene where she's doing hip hop and of course the ballerinas. Well, she may as well be committing crimes on stage.
Oh, yeah.
This will never do.
Yeah,
this will never do.
What is that woman doing with her arse?
Oh, it's just... it's perfect. It's so good. She gets to the school anyway and she meets this kind of... like, essentially, these other gang of... She's trying to do the hip-hop dance and there's a teacher there and he's like, no, absolutely not. We're doing it my way or the highway. You need yeah. to be pointing your toes. You're going to be doing ballet grinds with me, you fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then she meets this other fella and these other kind of...
Misfits.
This ragtag group, yeah, yeah, exactly, who are also clearly hip-hop dancers, like street dancers. Mm. They're not aware of the streets. Sorry, we should explain. What's this? What? Because I didn't realise. I thought it was literally just like the street. No, but the streets is. The streets is
yeah.
the definitive article, the capital T, the capital S streets.
Yeah.
What is that? What's going on there?
That's like this kind of underground dance competition that
okay.
goes on kind of in the community where it's like, you know, very, you know, ad hoc, lo-fi, kind of like we just see what happens. We go with the groove. But it's like, yeah, it's underground. You can't get into it if you don't know what's going on. And the crew that she used to dance for, the 410, I think.
410, because she's from Baltimore and it's the Baltimore, yeah, area.
Yeah.
Code,
yeah, so that crew, like, they would do it all the time and they're like the reigning champions of the streets. It's essentially like a dance battle thing, kind yeah. of underground dance battle. And you're only alerted to it by like a text message the night before, but only the people in the know get the message.
Yeah.
What I find really funny about like the whole... You know, she goes to the school. There's this bunch of misfits. The fact that the movie is trying to tell you that the underdog misfits are the kids who are paying for private school. Like, they're the ones you have to root for. What are you talking about? Like, what the fuck is
not
that?
Not the rich person propaganda.
Like, truly wild. And like, you only think about it, you're like, hang on, wait a minute. What's going on there?
Because the cool kids don't like you, like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and so, yeah, she goes to school. She kind of, the head of the school, his younger brother is the kind of guy who, like, fancies her, Chase.
Chase Collins.
Chase, with his kind of frosted tips.
Yeah.
Man, frosted tips had me in a chokehold.
Yeah, I think they had everyone in a chokehold. His real name is Robert Hoffman, so I was checking to see if he was related to Dustin Hoffman. He's not.
He's not, yeah. I kind of wouldn't imagine he was, a little bit.
I was like, nepo baby, and then yeah, I was like, no,
yeah.
actually,
no. Yeah, his brother owns the school, and he's kind of like, kind of rebellious, but not at all, really. And he's the one who suddenly has this insider knowledge because he's like the cool kid in
yeah.
the school and was like dating the cool girl and they're
played
kind of
Cassie.
Like royalty.
I was like, yeah, this what? Is not, yeah. my eyes are not laying on Cassie Ventura right now, but they were, she's there.
She's there, she's doing it. Yeah, I don't think they utilize her like enough
no,
at all.
No.
She's kind of just there.
I was going to say one dimensional, barely a dimension
an
to
edge,
be seen.
A corner?
If Cassie
corner
had just gotten
Cassie.
A good script, what could we have seen from Cassie and Step Up to the Streets?
and yeah, he's the one who points out to her, he's like, look, we've got all this talent in this school And it's like a kind of like Ocean's 11, like heist meet the team montage where it's like, this guy, he pops and locks so good that it'd make your mother cry. You know what I mean?
Like, but one of them, he's just like, she can't speak English, but it doesn't matter because she can dance. And yeah. It's like, brilliant. And then there's another fellow who, like, everyone's really mean to him because of his smile. Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah,
I know.
This is just... They call him Smiles. Smiles. Like, I was like, this is awful.
Like, this is why he's a misfit, because he's got gammy teeth. Like, this poor guy. This poor man.
It's unhinged. Yeah,
I think they literally, with the girl, they literally say, like... Like, she doesn't need to speak English because dancing is our language. Yeah. And you're like,
yeah. Yes. I was like, yes.
Get it.
Say the line.
Say the line. Dancing is our language. And they form their own crew.
Yeah.
And they kind of, so that her crew has kicked her out because she's in this like posho school now.
Yeah. And she's been kind of, she was trying to keep it a secret from them, but she like wasn't turning up to like, the practice for the streets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't turned up for the dancing things anyway. And Tuck, the leader, was like, right, fuck this, you're out, essentially.
Yeah, and they flip on her so quick.
So quickly. For all their talk of family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's the point where it's like, you're not actually acting like family, and I'm going to go make my other family over here with these freaks. With these fucking freaks. Look at this guy, he's got a shit smile. Like, that's his personality.
Oh god.
So yeah, and then they're in opposition with the 410. And the 410 just turn into arseholes all of a sudden. They're just like real mean.
Yeah. To the point where one of the original members, like her friend, ends up leaving because she's like,
yeah, Missy.
Yeah, this is all gone really well. Yeah, so Missy ends up joining the new school. Do they ever end up having a name? No.
No, no.
The new group. Anyway, she ends up joining the new group and kind of helps them to
integrate
get back
into,
at them. Yeah, and integrate, yeah.
And you know, she knows the streets as well. So she like gets the text on the night that it's happening and stuff. Also, Missy, did you spot the bit in it where there's like a, she has like a family barbecue at one stage and she's trying to set her... Andy up with her cousin,
yeah.
And she like is like, you know, believe me, if I wasn't his cousin, I'd be jumping on that. And you're like, sorry, what?
I completely missed that bit of light incest in there,
like just a little bit of light incest.
Perfect,
great,
brilliant.
Love it, love it.
Oh, every Flap Culture episode, there is some reference to my back to incest, and I don't know how it keeps happening.
It's your guest,
brilliant. Yeah,
something wrong.
Maybe,
yeah. Or and you, and maybe you, Vanilla.
Maybe I'm the problem.
Maybe I'm the incest. Who is that girl I see?
Anyway, okay, so the crews are competing. What's going on with the school in the middle of this having a fundraiser? Because that was kind of losing me a bit towards it. They're like fundraising for a new building and they have to perform at that, but it clashes with a performance on the streets, I think.
Yeah, it's so ambiguous. They really don't like... they like try and sew it in as a thread, but then they don't like take it home.
It's plot light, like I will say.
Where like it's just, you know, they have like a little, you know, they're like, this is our new building where we're gonna be, you know, blah blah blah, and you know, they have the like, you know, what is this for ants? Little kind of setup of it, and but it's so, you know, in that way that a lot of these movies are, where like, when you come to the end of it, it seems like it's all building to this kind of fundraiser where it's like, yes, they have to like, you know, win over the funders and get the money to make this, and they have to do this dance to do that. But then, you know, you don't even see really any of it that. You just see the night of the fundraiser. Half of them are just walking around serving things to people. And then they get a text to say that the streets are on tonight, and they end up ditching the fundraiser.
Sorry, I should say, I actually skipped a large chunk of the plot there. The reason why they are working at the fundraiser and they don't, like, initially they're not fully going to the streets. There's been an issue where the 410 have retaliated and they've wrecked the school. And obviously, Colin's brother or cousin or whatever who's running the school is pissed, obviously, because the place has been fucking vandalised.
Yeah.
And he's like, a cop said it's Andy and it's probably more of them, but Andy takes the full fall. So he's like, right, Andy, skedaddle, you're fucking expelled.
Up and at him.
You big street dancing fool, disrespecting the medium of dance. Get back to the streets. Get back to the streets of there. So she's like, right, grand. But then eventually they realise that they have to come together as a family, power of dance, et cetera, et cetera. So ditch the fundraiser when they get the text and they're like, right, we're going to go, we're going to serve it to them, we're going to show them.
Yeah.
And that's when Andy also goes and she gives her big speech about how like dance is about... family, family, et cetera, et cetera.
And, yeah. And also there is a, you know, there's a an instance before where you see them kind of be a bit shit too. Like they go and try and initially like see the 410 in their turf.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're just going to like suss them out. And then the 410 are like, all right, go on, show us what you got. And they're shit. Like, yeah,
it's bad.
They're dog shit. They're just like, bup, bup,
bup, it's bup. So bad.
And so I don't know what they do to change that. You never see them like get better.
No.
They're just suddenly better.
It's just that Missy is able to tell them about this pranking thing, which, can you explain what that is for anyone who hasn't watched the movie in a while and can't remember?
Yeah, so it's like there's another element to the streets where, like, I think each of the dance crews that are taking part have to do a prank.
This is so 2008, by the way. Like, this has never been, like, social media has just begun, and wow, the internet is blowing people's minds.
Fully. And also when you see, like, the movie starts with, like, essentially a flash mob sequence, and you're like, nah, not a flash mob.
It was hard. I had to push through to keep going for you, Hannah. Just, I want to make that clear.
I love it. I fucking love it. And I also love, there's something I've always found really funny about, like, the idea of flash mobs is that, you know, when you do a flash mob and say, like, you're doing it, and then you realise that, like, everyone's a part of the flash mob except, like, one person. And they're like, who's that for? Who's that for? And it's kind of like that in the train and start with the deal. We're like, hang on, they're all in on this. Then it's just one guy who's like, what was that? Like, what?
Just, like, on the most laborious commute ever, I'd imagine, just, like, barely making ends meet. Like, cost of living crisis on his whip.
Yeah.
There's a fella gets up and he's doing a fucking headstand. He's like, this is the last thing. I have to go in and do 45 XLs.
Yeah, you've just watched a woman pretend she has a baby and then fuck the blanket at you. And you're like, I watched that baby die in my mind. You killed that baby.
Oh my god!
So yeah, they have to do this. I think that's what we're watching in the start, is them doing their prank. Yeah. It's like that first one. And so this new crew, I think they call themselves, whatever the name of the college is, they call themselves that crew, which is so lame.
Like, MSA? Yeah. MSA, yeah.
And so
that is very fucking lame.
It's
Jesus
really
Christ.
Like, come on.
Come on.
Why are you rooting for them? You shouldn't be, like.
I kind of wasn't. Yeah. And I think that might have actually been my issue. I didn't really like. No, I didn't like the 410. And I was like, Tucker, you're a bit of a knob. But
a
like.
Total knob, yeah.
MSA, I was just a bit like, all right. Cool. That Moose fella as well. I'm like, shut up.
I know. People, yeah. Well, Moose fucking walked so Timothy Chalamet could run. Like, he is the precursor.
No, he is.
He is, like. And oh, like, we're only just realising that we made this. We made Chalamet out of the parts of other men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That came before. And I'm don't know why we did.
Sugar, spice and everything nice.
Yeah. So their prank essentially is that they decide to turn around to the 410 and like prank Tucker, and they have like loads of shots of him and they're like dancing in the background and
he doesn't realize
an old woman.
And I was like, yeah, sick burn,
sick
guys.
Sick burn. And then they like, it is like when you think about it, like it's so childish. Just like, they just leave a fish in his house and you're like, oh, you got
Which,
him.
I will say that was a classic leaving sir prank in my secondary school.
Was it? Yeah. Did people do that?
I never did it. Jesus, no. Big swat fucking head here. Absolutely not. I'd be bawling, crying. No, the 6 years would regularly, there was more than one occasion where there was fish put behind radiators and stuff.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Like.
When he walks in, Tucker says, why does it smell like broccoli and ball sweat? Such specific things.
So specific.
Why those two?
Yeah.
The alliteration.
Stunning.
So yeah, that's the prank that they do. And that's like a part of the whole thing as well. So you have to do your prank and then you have to do your dance on the night in the streets.
Yeah.
What did you think of the final dance? Did you like it?
It's the best part of the entire movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, everything is building to this. Because I've seen scenes of it. I haven't watched this. This is the first time I watched the full movie in full.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows that scene of them. Like, they're sopping wet.
They're
and they are
dripping.
They are just, they are taking everything out of Timbaland and Justin Timberlake's song bounce. It's perfection.
Absolute perfection. It's great. That makes for great
stunning.
Audio.
Yeah. Truly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, best dance sequence of the rain. Fuck Gene Kelly out the door. Like, You know what I mean? Like, see you later. That, Gene, you know, Kelly also
spinning in his grave. Yeah,
goodbye, Gene Kelly. Tom Holland definitely picked some notes off that. 100% for his umbrella dance. 100%. You know what I mean? It's great.
Now, I will say, I'd love to know more lore behind the filming of that scene, because they do just all look so wet and so wet. Like, are you a dancer? Can you dance?
No, I had to do choreography for something I did like last week.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hard.
I don't know how anyone does it. It's
like my brain doesn't work in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, do this with your arm and then this with your leg. I just short circuit.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, like I can't. It's only if you do it over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, I've always thought that watching Drag Race, where I'm like, how do they do this? How do they learn in a fucking night to do it? I don't know. I'd break down. But like you say, they're filming this. That would have taken ages to film. So are they just wet the whole
That's
time?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, hypothermia like, to the sopping? Max. Just sopping wet. Yeah, just
so wet.
It is unbelievable. And I will say, as much as I'm taking the piss out of Moose, like, he's incredible. Like, it's so, like, and it's whoever choreographed, obviously, the full scene as well. But, like, it's very, like, Jackson inspired. And it's just, it is, because I'm going to be honest, up to this point, a lot of the dancing in the middle didn't really,
wasn't hitting your spot.
Like the initial dance that she has with, so there's a thing where before she goes to the school, whatever, and it's decided that she goes before Channing Tatum's character, whose name is absolutely irrelevant to me and irrelevant to this film. Yeah. Realistically, where he's like, look, let's have a dance off, and like, if you lose, we're sending you to this fucking school. Yeah. Right, essentially. That, it was incredible. Because, like, again, they're in the streets. Sorry, it's not that they're in the streets, but wherever the streets takes place, the streets is a very abstract concept. Two extremely white people talking about the streets.
I know.
But they're in this, it's this kind of underground club thing, whatever. And then Channing's like, okay, we're going to have a dance off. This floor splits open and they just have these, like, fuck, again, the dancers are probably screaming, but they're essentially like trampolines so they can, like, bounce off and, like,
class.
There is nothing beats a good dance off scene where it's like there's something at stake and we're like battling each other. Like, the thought of it being a battle and seeing, and you know where Andy's like, oh, and she's like throwing her hands up in the air because she knows she's losing. At one point, I think I have it written down here, Channing Tatum, like, he trampolines off the floor and then like his shirt comes off.
Great.
And it's just like, you've lost it, Andy.
Yeah,
Bibbs.
The bit where he like hangs it on it and like shimmies out.
Oh, it's
so good.
So good.
He is phenomenal. You should watch the first one.
Okay.
Like, because he is magnetic. I mean, it's the same when you... Have you watched the Magic Mike's?
Yes. No, I haven't watched the most recent one. The Last Dance.
I don't think I have either.
I don't know if it's very good. Anyway, probably if someone wants to do that flap culture, hello flap culture.
Well, it was funny with the Magic Mike's where it was like, you know, the first one, everyone thought it was going to be really like horny, hot, sexy, you know what I mean?
Leslie, but it was like Matthew McConaughey, trauma,
real
dark.
Fucking dark, all about like toxic masculinity and like, you know, and then...
And then the second one, they were like, never mind, what's John Manganiello's number? Like, we need him now. We need his apps now.
We need to make the movie that we told them we were going to make in the first place. You know what I mean? Just like lads, fucking.
Just lads. Donald Glover's in that. What the? That was such a strange
thing. Yeah, the bit in the house, isn't he? Yeah. Very strange.
What were we talking about? The thing with the first one is, and again, I'm saying this like having not watched it, but we've referenced it, the fact that obviously the lead characters have this insane chemistry because obviously they ended up being in a real life relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know if these two lead characters have the same chemistry. It's very tepid.
It is. What I'll say was, and I think this is maybe, I'm coming off the back of, I don't know, I found like loads of movies that like, you know, that are from, I don't know, the 2000s that we look back on now and we're like, oh, those were a load of shite. They're actually not as shite as, if that movie were to come out today, it would be unwatchable.
Mm.
Like, it would just be so bad.
Mm.
And like, you know, in terms of their chemistry, like, it's not like off the charts, but I do kind of believe it. And I feel like they're like trying to like each other. But like, I watched fucking Anyone But You the other day.
I still haven't watched it.
Oh my God.
Is it bad?
It's so bad.
They're re-releasing it for Valentine's Day. It's like the Valentine's Day encore. Because obviously it's a rom-com, like, but it came out of Christmas.
It's painful.
But it's making so much money. But
is
that was the whole thing where it was like they were, because they were,
It was like, they're cheating on their partners because they're with each other because of the movie. And it's like, no, they're not.
They're not. They've no chemistry. They can't be. Either that or, like, generally, you know, you find, like, sometimes chemistry comes from the fact that, like, you haven't fucked someone and those are the fuck vibes. You know what I mean? Like, I want to fuck you, can't fuck you.
Yeah.
And sometimes actors lose chemistry if they fuck right from the get-go and then their chemistry's gone.
Yeah.
So either they, like, fucked on the first day and then they lost all their chemistry, which I don't know why they'd do that, or they just, they don't have any. And, like, there's like a kind of dead mom narrative in Anyone But You. It's not a spoiler. Like, he has a dead mom. He has a dead mom and, like, he essentially is like, here's a wrench. She's like, why is there a wrench in your gaff? He's like, framed a wrench. A normal fucking wrench. And she's like, what's going on with that wrench? And he's like, my mom gave it to me to remember I can always fix things. What are you talking about? Sorry, what are you fucking talking about? Sorry, my mom gave me this toilet brush to remember that I could always get through the shit. Like, what are you saying? So, I don't know. I watched that. That's the last movie I watched before I watched this. And then I watched this again and I was like, you know what?
This is going to look like Oppenheimer fucking next class. To that. Yeah, brilliant.
Class.
Perfect.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the IMDb description just reads, romantic sparks occur between two dance students from different backgrounds at the Maryland School of the Arts, which is, like, any, we could be talking about any dance movie from the noughties.
That's, you know, it. What I mean? And I think, like, you know, most of the, like, I had a look at some of the reviews that were, you know, particularly, you know, I think it has 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty low.
Mm.
And I don't think it deserves that. I don't think it deserves 28.
Because it's funny because it made way more money than the first one.
So, yeah.
And now, obviously, the first one launched the franchise, whatever, so that's understandable.
Yeah, and I think it's off the back of the first one that it made all of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think the reason what I saw for people giving out about it is that they say it's, like, just really formulaic, right? So it's like, you know, you're following a formula. But my argument to that is, like, but we like formula. Formula is what our little lizard brains need.
Yeah.
To like, oh yeah, this happens and then this happens and then this happens. Like, particularly with a movie like this where you're going into it with a level of escapism and you know it's not going to be like, they're not going to be getting into like hardcore stuff and race issues and, you know, all of that. It's just very light entertainment. So in that case, you want something that's very like, by the book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't really want to see Christopher Nolan doing a Tenet on a dance film, you know what I mean? I don't need
You're
to be confident.
Grand. Yeah. Thanks.
I need, you know, do you know the joke in Family Guy where it's like, it's like, I'm rich and you're poor, but together, like, dance can bring us together. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
How do they overcome those adversities? Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, the reviews were not kind, to say the least. As I said, like, it went on to gross like 150 million worldwide and it was only made for like 17 million. Laura Bushell for BBC said, will dance triumph over adversity? Will love between two attractive, vacuous actors conquer all? Life poses some very hard questions, but these ain't them, folks. Still, it's hard not to watch and wonder at some of the dancing and step up to. It's pretty awesome. Enough to make some terrible acting and even clunkier dialogue bearable until the next huffing sequence. Teenies wanting amazing moves, tight abs all around, and cheesy romance will lap this up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, and I'm okay with all of that. You know what I mean? Because I just want to watch the dancing. I want to watch people moving their bodies.
Yeah.
Also, can I say, the soundtrack is banging.
Oh, the soundtrack is, I say that, I know Justin Timberlake is Public Enemy number one, and I completely appreciate that. But some of the earlier Timbaland stuff.
That Timbaland
album.
That
bounce song. Now, I will say, Timbaland is probably, like, he kind of owns that movie in some ways, you know what I mean? Because that scene, that soundtrack thing, oh, perfection.
Tempo has reached critical level.
Yeah.
Tempo has reached critical level.
The Flo Rida song.
Yeah.
That's it.
Low. Staple.
Oh.
Staple.
Oh.
I mean, that was the song
In some ways, the movie is a very gorgeous time capsule. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's very, like, it's inoffensive. It has aged badly in the sense of, like, technology and pop culture in the way that all of these films will. Anyone But You is going to look and, like, fucking sour milk to the aliens that inhabit Earth in 2056. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, like, in some ways, I'm like, yeah, actually, I think you're right. Like, I think it's a nice little perfect insight
into
it.
It is what it is. It is, you know, what it is. And yeah, the fashion, all of it, like everything is such a... I was listening to something the other day and people were talking about, you know, there are certain eras that we can still like ascribe like style to. And you know what I mean? Like, oh, that was what people wore. Or that was what people listened to. And then you get into... It gets blurry in like maybe like 2013, up until now, because it's all a bit more mashy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But whereas back then you could go, oh yeah, that's so specific to that time. And it like makes you think about that and feel that in a very specific way, you know?
We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you remember what else came out the month that it was released? Do you remember where you were in... I think it was February 2008. Because it only, when it came out, it only opened at number 3. But in terms of that month, it had a lot of like stiff competition and so, a lot of other flops in this month, I will say, and movies that I think are actually worse than this one.
Okay, yeah. No, February 2008, I think I was riddled with glandular fever.
Perfect.
So classic, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's another nice time capsule from 2008.
100%. Yeah.
Bring that back.
Don't bring it back.
I've got them here if you want to know. So the number one grossing film for February 2008, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert.
Wow, brilliant. Okay.
And then we had Jumper in at number 2.
Oh yeah.
Hayden Christensen. When are we getting the Hayden Christensen-essence? Boo, Adam's putting us on down. I don't really know
why. That was his one thing after, was that after Star Wars and him trying to be and like, here's my next movie.
Yeah, and it was. God, was what a vapid
man.
Now we think it made money, but critically people fucking hated it. Fool's Gold.
Was pretty.
The Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, significantly shitter than How to Lose a Guy in Tennis. Sure. Couldn't tell you the plot of that.
What is it?
Are they mine? No, they're not minors.
Are they minors?
No, there is something that they're actually looking for gold.
Sorry,
are
Kate
they not?
Kate Hudson down in the fucking mine.
No, it's something. They are actively looking. I don't know. Can someone, again, helloflopculture@gmail.com. Please come on and do that film so we can watch together. The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, wild.
I read those books. I never
they were
saw
books.
The movies.
Yeah, the book
slapped. I feel like the movie was not that good. And then Step Up to the Streets.
Okay, yes. Number 5. In my mind, Step Up to the Streets, the superior of all of those.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, what a film. How is it in comparison to like when you first watched it and watching it now? Like, how was that like transition for you? Or like, what was the experience like?
It's funny. You know when like sometimes the critical thinking center of your brain is just shut off for certain things?
Yeah.
This movie is just one of those for me where I was like, I had read some of the reviews and I know the faults and I'm watching and I'm like, I don't agree. I think it's just fucking solid. Like, I don't. And I'm like looking at them and I'm like, look at that. That's great. That's a funny joke. Look, they're looking at each other there. That's a relationship. I don't know what it is. There's something like, I thought I would watch it again and be like, ah, it's a load of shit. And I was like, nah, it's great. I love it.
Do you ever think we'll see a renaissance for these kind of dance movies in the way that they were such a feature of the noughties or no?
Well, it's interesting because I think they were a feature of the 80s too.
True, yeah.
You know, so like what you had, like Flashdance, Dirty Dancing, what else? There was a bunch of them. So I'm sure there's an element And I'm sure there's something you could kind of pin it to because it is that kind of escapism thing. I read an interesting thing on Step Up and some of those dance movies of the 2000s where it was somebody trying to draw a parallel between that it was also when people were getting really into watching like talent shows. Mm. Talent shows were becoming like a big thing in that era. And so you were watching people on talent shows like dancing or like singing.
Because this
stuff.
Is peak America's Best. I don't know if you ever watched America's Best Dance Crew. I loved America's Best Dance Crew. Right. Lil Mama, one of the judges. Yeah. JC, your man from NSYNC.
Oh yeah.
JC, what's his second name?
No Chazzy? Idea.
Anyway, he's on it. Anyway, Adam, please Google that. I'm not getting the NSYNC fans are going to kill me.
Yeah, they're coming for me.
And actually, one of the winning groups is in this movie as well, Jabberwockies, the ones that wear the masks. I remember Mario Lopez hosted the show. I fucking loved America's Best Dance Crew.
JC
Chazzy. The minute we got MTV, it was absolutely over for me. I was like, when my brain started atrophying. I was like, I can watch America's Best Dance Crew now. I'm finally can be in with my peers.
Sure.
I never considered the talent show link. That's very true.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said for that. I think like, you know, if we're still around in however many years, maybe 20 years.
God, I hope not.
Me too. Yeah. Let it end.
I'm over it.
Please let it end.
I haven't found the power and love of dance, so what's the point if not, you know?
I have a feeling, I think it's something that people come back to, you know what I mean? Because it's like a physical expression thing, you know, dance as metaphor, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think we will probably swing around to it again at some point, you know?
It's going to be TikTok dances though, isn't it?
God.
Are we going to get a full 120 minutes
We've already gotten that. We're already saturated with it.
They made a TikTok about me and it's gotten like 120,000 likes. And then it's going to be Charli D'Amelio and she saves the day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what a grim timeline we live on.
Grim.
What would be your closing pitch for someone to revisit this or your argument as to why it's actually not a flop?
If you want to watch just bodies flowing in the expression of humanity and everything, you know, we have to offer in this kind of good and sweet world and, you know, what comes from our hearts and comes out our souls through our bodies. And also just, I don't know, hot people doing stuff is always a good time, you know? And songs, banging songs, dancing to banging songs. Like, you actually can't beat that, you know what I mean?
I forgot to mention, John M. Chu directed this, who's doing the Wicked adaptation, and he's gone on it. He does a lot of the Fast and Furious movies, so.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind that I saw that trailer come out the other day and watched it, and then I was like, hey, that's the same guy.
There you go.
Wild.
That's range. Yeah. That's range.
What a man.
What a man. Hannah, what a pleasure it's been. Where can people find out more about you, see things that you do, et cetera, et cetera?
It's probably Instagram or something. I think I'm at Hannah Mam.
Brilliant.
That's the one.
It's to the point. An absolute pleasure. You are always welcome back to Flop Culture. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Big thank you to Hannah. I leave all of her links below. The entirety of Step Up to the Streets is on YouTube. Watch it as God intended on YouTube. That is all from me this week. I very much appreciate you listening. Please come over and follow us on social media. It's at flopculture_pod. We're nearly 2,000 followers on Instagram. So I'd love to get that number up if you haven't followed over there. We do like games every week. If you are looking to guess the week's episode, we do some fun little games over there. It's fun. I'd love your ratings. Please rate wherever you're listening. I would appreciate it. And as I mentioned, we're over on Patreon, patreon.com/flopculture. Very excited. I'm recording with Owen Keane this week. We might do the doubler on the Fleabag episodes. So we're all ready for you. Carla Kay is back next month. We're watching After We Collided, the sequel. And of course, as previously mentioned, Zara Hedman will be checking in and we will be discussing Cowboy Carter, Beyonce's next album, Act 2. I'm very excited. It's patreon.com/flopculture where you get at least 3 bonus episodes a month. Sometimes more. It depends. Shout out to some new patrons. Hello, Bridget. Hello, Stephanie. And hello, Aoife. And hello, Maggie. I'm not sure if I said hi to all of you already, but I appreciate you. Thank you so much for subscribing. A reminder, some of these episodes are available to watch on YouTube. Just look me up. It's Fionnuala J if you prefer a video podcast. Once again, this has been Flop Culture. It has been edited by Adam Shannon. I very much appreciate you listening, and I cannot wait to see you all next week. Bye bye.